Hebrews and chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, where we see the discussion of the apostle as he comes up in front of people and he says about the beginning of God's rich blessing. Now, to understand the book of Hebrews, really one needs a working knowledge at least of the book of Leviticus. To understand fully the impact of Romans, one needs a working knowledge of Deuteronomy. And sometimes we miss a great deal of insight and blessing by not comparing Scripture with Scripture, especially going from the Old to the New and back again. But in Hebrews 1, these are the words, the opening words. It's as if there is a great and wonderful theatrical production and the curtain goes up. And I think the book of Hebrews is so alarmingly beautiful and terribly dramatic. And the curtain goes up with the word God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the prophets, unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the effulgence of his glory, the brightness of his image, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. What a massive and complete statement of the presence of our Lord Jesus. But let's look especially at the expression that is in verse 2. In these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Please, let's be aware and beware of people that tell us that there are in the last days all kinds of strange things going on in the minds of men and women, revealing the presence of God. God hath in these last days spoken. It's in the past tense. He has spoken unto us by his Son. Now let's turn, will you please, in the Word, to the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, chapter 4 of John's Gospel. And we read from verse 5. Our Lord Jesus, in the Gospel of John, at the beginning, the fourth chapter, the beginning of his ministry, was traveling and had need to go through a city in Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. This is verse 5. Now to verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, Why speakest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto Jesus. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he saith unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Jesus for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. Let me share with you these beautiful words that are contained in verse 10, the answer of Jesus to the woman when he simply asks for water. And the woman says, she counters his request by saying, But there's racism. There's a racial problem between you and I. How is it that the lofty Jew is asking the downtrodden Samaritan, How is it that you, sir, and there's great sarcasm dripping from the voice of this lady, How is it that you're speaking to me, a Samaritan, and even deigning to ask a favor of me? And Jesus turns. Look at the answer in verse 10. If thou knewest the gift of God. If this Christmas time, each gift under our tree or stuffed in our stocking could cry out and say, If thou knewest the gift, you wouldn't behave like this. You wouldn't speak like this. You wouldn't act like this. You wouldn't be this way if thou knewest the gift. There would be a type of attitude to the giver of the gift of benevolent acceptance. many of us would change our behavior because of the gratitude of the enormity of the gift, or the preciousness of the gift, or of the love that is behind the giving of the gift. We would change ourselves. We would feel that we needed to earn some of that gift. If thou knewest the gift. But Jesus is speaking of himself, God's great gift. Have you ever thought of this? If thou only knewest the gift. I am convinced that in our prayer lives we prattle. I am convinced that in our prayer lives we spin wheels. I am convinced that in our quote and unquote spiritual exercises, we often become dull of mind and spirit because we barely know the gift. When last did you seek the face of God in prayer? When last did you grab hold, as it were, of the ankles or heels of God and say, I will not let thee go till thou bless me? Yet all power, says Jesus, is given unto me. But we seem to think that that's not quite so, and we have to exercise all kinds of rites in order to establish the power of God. The power of God is mightier than the rites of man. The power of God is greater than the imagination of any. The power of God is hindered by one thing: sin. It is the power of God that finds little or no liberty while sin is being practiced. And the worst sin, I believe, that we can address ourselves to are not the heinous sins of sexuality or the terrifying sins of cheating and lying and gossiping, but the simple sin that we avoid admitting to. We can detect the pride in a person. We can detect deceptiveness in a person, but we seldom detect unbelief. Sin causes unbelief. When I don't believe that God can achieve, I don't believe in the power of God. When I don't believe, when I'm not just resting in the simple fact that when God wants to and in His time, He can do these things. And if you and I are agreed that we should be praying for power, then let us be dealing with sin. Especially the sin of unbelief. Now, I can't go along with those persons that walk up to someone and say, if you have enough faith, this can happen. I don't think it's enough faith. I don't go along with those people who make a cop-out of that and say, well, if it's not enough faith, it's got to be the right quality of faith. How do you qualify faith? Quite simply, I believe that God, who created the ends of the earth, who created Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind, the one who sent His only begotten Son into this world to die for this world, I believe He is able to keep whatever I commit to Him against the day when I shall face Him face to face. Do you believe that? Now, if we believe that, we are on the very edge of gaining power. What do I not believe? Now we come into doctrine. And I don't think you should line your doctrine up with mine. I think we should line our doctrine up with the Word of God. And we should put right what may not be quite right. We should be able to accept by faith what we cannot comprehend by mind. And we should be able to say, all power is given unto Jesus. And so our trust in Jesus is our trust in His power. Our turning to Jesus the Christ is turning to the things of God. In a conversation yesterday, we were talking about a tremendous message that was heard. It was a moving message. It was a powerful sermon. And yet there was a check in the spirit of some of us. Having heard this mighty message, we wondered why we who love the Lord didn't understand that it should move our hearts. Our hearts weren't moved. There was a check. Our emotions were excited, but our hearts weren't moved. Why? And the question was, why? As we replayed in the mind that message, it was a message filled with the experiences of people, filled with the experiences and happenings of persons. And the person that was left out of the whole message was the name of Jesus. And it is in the name of Jesus that we have mighty power. Now, I might sound to some of you a little on the Pentecostal side here, and I'll not even bother to apologize. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have mighty power. The message that zooms across the heads of people and doesn't touch the hearts, the message that gets hold of the emotions and jangles the emotions but doesn't dig to the soul, is the message that avoids Jesus Christ. The unfortunate thing is that not many of us are prepared to listen to what Jesus has to say to our hearts. We are not always believing that the power of this universe was given to Christ, that the power and might of all creation was placed in the hands of Jesus. Do you believe that? Jesus Christ has all power, all power. If you believe that He has all power, you have no need to be concerned so much with the power of government or the power of Satan or the power of those in authority over us. Pray for those in authority. Pray for those leading. Pray for those directing. Pray for them. It is the most unhinging thing when you're in sin to be told that you're being prayed for. It is the most disquieting thing to know that people are praying for you when you're enjoying sin. And I look at the leadership of our country, of our county and town and society, and I let them know we are praying for you. One man said to me not long ago, "Don't waste your prayers." I don't believe that. Don't waste your prayers on me. Not for me to say that they're wasted or not. God may well judge that man and make him an exhibition in front of this community, this very community, so that the rest of the community can see that God is on the throne and God does have all power. I believe God has all power and has divested that power to Jesus Christ, the Lord. If thou knewest the gift of God. Listen again to what is written in Hebrews 1. The writer of Hebrews 1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in history through men of God, and He spoke to our leaders, our fathers. Now, a thing that has broken down in our congregation and in the congregation of the people of America and throughout the world is this. We have fragmentated the family, so God has very little point. There's very little point at this time of God speaking to our fathers. Though this means the general leadership of Israel, let's apply it to the fathers of the small families that we represent. There is a sense in which there is precious little point in speaking to the fathers, because the whole system that God set up is broken down. In the Western world, we know hardly anything of the patriarchal leadership. We know a lot of matriarchal leadership, but not patriarchal. We don't understand the father leadership. We understand the mother leadership. It's a terrifying thing that ladies have stepped out of the place of God's blessing. And if there is any one place where we can lay a finger to see why we lack power, it is because we've broken away from God's system of things. In these last days, verse 2 tells us, hath spoken unto us by his Son. Now I know Joel said, in the last days, young men shall dream dreams, and the young women shall dream dreams, and the old men shall have visions. I know this is said, but understand, God hasn't spoken through those visions and dreams. God has revealed his truth through those dreams and those visions. But God has spoken through his Son. Now, there's all kinds of difference there. There is the revelation of the will of God. There is the revelation of God's impact upon the community that is revealed through the visions and through the dreams. But God's speech is through Jesus Christ. Listen to Jesus again speaking to that woman. If thou hadst known, if only you could realize what the gift of God was. Now notice the woman. She is filled with sarcastic remark. She is simply dripping with a pride. She's a talkative, humorous woman. She is a woman who knows how to get on the right side of men. She knows how to play a person's personality to respond to hers. She is a very clever lady. She keeps people at arm's length so they can never look into her soul. She doesn't want them to. She feels guilty within her heart. And so she makes light of what Jesus says. Do you make light? Do we make light of what Jesus says? Because we don't want anyone prying into our soul. Think it through. If you knew the gift of God, God hath spoken by his Son. And I believe the power of God is in the Son of God. And if we are believing in the Son of God and are agreed together, touching anything, we can ask God for that power and get it. Can you agree with that? That's a massive statement. It means that there has to be obedience. I find the world frightens me. Every year at this time, I get the heebie-jeebies about the tax time between now and April. The world frightens me. The system frightens me. Like a rabbit who hears a shotgun go off in the distance, I don't know which way to run, and I can't find enough cover, and I wish sometimes there was a big hole to fall down and I could pretend I wasn't here. The world frightens me. I'm in good company. Elijah was frightened by the world system that he lived in. He was able to do massive deeds on God's behalf and in the name of God, and he could stand as the champion of God before the people of God and reveal the power of God. But when a woman said, I'm going to get you, he ran away. We're in good company when we feel this way. It's not good to feel this way because it means there is lack of faith. When the system under which we live gets too big for us to cope with our lives, it means that we're simply not trusting the power of God. All power is given unto me, and said Jesus, and if that power is available to me and I'm not recipient of it, there must be somewhere a panic that is taking me away from God and causing me to run in the wrong direction. Men ought always to pray, not faint. Men ought always to be before the Father, coming to Him in prayer. Do you know the gift of God? I know that you love the Lord Jesus, or you wouldn't be here this evening. But do you know the gift of God? If you knew that gift and realized that all power was given to that through that gift, and if you could understand, if we could comprehend, God is not speaking through visions. He is not speaking through dreams. He is speaking through His Son. And more than that, He hath spoken. It's done. The document that God has revealed through His Son is written. It's there. The statement of God, the New Testament, the new covenant in His blood, the whole thing is written here. It's ours. Do you believe that? The power of God is contained in the person of Christ. The person of Christ is revealed through the Word of God. And the Word of God, without exception, is the portrait of God. It is the Word inerrant. It is the Word powerful, sharp, like a two-edged sword dividing soul and spirit. I was boning an elk. And as I was going through that body of the carcass of the elk, putting the meat to one side, I had learned one thing from friends of mine. It was very important to take out all the bones. So I took all the bones from the carcass of the animal, and then I was experimenting with one of my knives to see how sharp it really was, for the manufacturer said it would never lose its edge. I took a piece of hide and it wouldn't cut through it. I took a bone and it bounced on the bone. I took another knife, the maker of which said, if you took a hammer, you could hammer it through an inch bolt without damaging the blade. So I took a bone of the animal and I pressed and I pushed and I shoved and I sawed. It made a scratch mark, but it didn't cut through the bone and it lost what edge there had been. The Word of God is not manufactured by man, or it would have lost its point and its edge. The Word of God is not manufactured by the mind of man. The Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. Let us believe this precious Word. Pray for His mighty power and believe in the enormous ability of the gift of God that is spoken to us through His Son. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we seek Thy face. We seek Thy wonder and Thy power. We ask for Thy mighty power. We seek, our Father, that place where when we come before Thee, we shall meet with Thee. And as we look at Thee, and as we commune with Thee, there shall be the outflowing and the ingathering of Thy mighty power. O breath of God, come sweeping through us. Revive Thy church to meet this hour. We beseech Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.